One thing is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is a continuation of the message, The Lordship of Jesus.
Hallelujah. If Jesus is God, why is he called the Son of God? Thank you, Lord Jesus. First, do you know what it is for someone to be called God? Let's start from there. Do you know the meaning of the word God, G-O-D? Come on now, talk to me. You are here. Don't act like you're not here. You are here. I can see you. What is God? Who is God? What is God? When you say God, what are you referring to? What are those things that should characterize such deity to be called God? All right, let me give you a few things. All right? Number one, he must be the creator of all things. That's number one. Now remember, we're not talking about a God. We're talking about the God. Definite article. If he is God, meaning the God, certain things must qualify him so to be. Number one, he must be the creator of all things. Now, in that case, he will not be called the God of thunder, or the God of iron, or the God of rain, and so on and so forth. He has to be the God of everything. So he must be the creator of all things. Now, have we read that about him? Number two, he must be omnipotent. That means all powerful. In other words, he should have the ability to do all things and anything. Omnipotent. He should have all power. All power. What did Jesus say? All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. He didn't say some, he said all. Number three, he must be omniscient, meaning all knowing. He should know all things and everything at the same time. He shouldn't wait for any information. If he is God, he must be omniscient. Hallelujah. Are you still there? He ought to be. He should know all things. He should be the embodiment of all knowledge and all wisdom. Number four, he must be omnipresent. Meaning, he should have the ability to be everywhere at the same time. He doesn't come and go. You understand that? He should be everywhere at the same time. If he is God, he must be omnipresent. They must be able to find him anywhere, anytime. They must be able to call on him anytime, anywhere. He must be able to respond anytime, anywhere, the same way if he desires to. Number five, he must be a master communicator. In other words, he should be able to communicate with everyone, everything, anytime, anyway. Are you still there? We're talking about God. Who is God? All right, he's got to have all of these abilities. Now, something else. Why is Jesus called the Son of God? And I said, first let's find out who is God. When you say God, we're not talking about he's the son of a God. He is the Son of God. So who is God? And we've tried to look at a few things, which some qualities that this God must possess. Remember, we said he must be the creator. And then that means, of course, that he must be the life giver. All right? He must be the origin. You can make that the sixth one. He must be the origin of life. Meaning that he himself should be called life. All right now. So why is Jesus called the Son of God? Very simple. You've got to understand this. It's so important. See, some people don't understand these things, and that's the reason why they are confused. But why don't I also misunderstand it? How can I believe that Jesus is God and I also believe he's the Son of God? I call him the Son of God like you do. And yet I believe he is God. How could I believe those two things? Aren't they a conflict of opinions? No. A contradiction? Not at all. When you study the Bible, there's no contradiction at all. Now here it is. You begin from Genesis to understand all great truths take their root in the book of Genesis. All kingdom revelations have their root in the book of Genesis. Now in Genesis, when you study from chapter 1, he tells us in the beginning, from verse 1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And Elohim is Hebrew word for God, plural for God. In other words, if you were to read it literally in the Hebrew, it would say, Elohim, the gods, created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, the gods created the heaven and the earth. So Elohim is plural for God. But then the Hebrew always reminds people. He says, the Lord, he says, hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. Letting them know that even though we use the term Elohim, we are not dealing with a plurality of personalities, but one God. Because they couldn't understand. How could God be plural? Gods, and yet he's one. But truly, there was a plurality of personality, which will be revealed later. Are you saying this? This is what God was giving them. And so they were not confused. So they said, in the beginning, the gods created the heaven and the earth. That's the reason in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you hear, and God said, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. So who was us? Who was he talking to? So you can now understand why he uses the word Elohim in verse 1. The gods created the heaven and the earth. So in verse 26, he says, let us make man. So who's he referring to? Is it Jesus? No. That's what many Pentecostals believe. And many charismatics. Jesus wasn't there. The Bible doesn't say Jesus was there. He says, so who's Jesus then? That's what I'm trying to tell you. So just listen. Are you still here? How many of you are following what I'm saying? You're understanding, you're coming. All right, great, great. So, he tells us in verse 2, Genesis chapter 1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In verse 3, he says, and God said, God said, that's the first time we find him speaking. God said. Now, in verse 2, we have a revelation of someone. He says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That is the Spirit. So you write that down, the Spirit of God. All right? We'll talk about who is that. It's the Spirit of God. You write that down. Now, he moves to verse 3 and says, and God said, let there be lights. And there was light. So already we know something. The Spirit of God was on earth. Papa God was not there. The earth was without form and void. Why? Was it created without form and void? Emphatically, no. It wasn't. Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me, and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0902-969-2794 or participate in our online church at www.cebeninzone1.org on Sundays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.